The Lord's been dealing with me about some things. He's been dealing with me personally as a follower of Jesus Christ. And I believe this morning he wants to deal with the church at large on some of these same subjects. I'm finding some things out about healing that are not necessarily new, but getting a deeper revelation in them. And I want to share some of those with you today. Beginning here in Luke, the fourth chapter, beginning to read in the 16th verse. And he, that is Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, or Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord," or the time of God's grace and God's favor and God's release to all men. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus said, "I have come to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach to the world that this is the time of God's grace and God's favor to all men." He said, "That's my ministry. That's why I came." Then the scripture shows us what he did. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, the fourth chapter. If you've read any of your Bible, you know scriptures like this are all through the gospel record. But I want you to see what Jesus did after he declared himself as the anointed one of God to bring the message of God's deliverance and God's healing and God's forgiveness and God's wholeness to the whole world. Matthew 4, and verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Now he declared, "My ministry is to preach and teach the message of the good news of God's grace, and to preach and teach the will of Almighty God, to set at liberty those that are bound, to heal those that need healing, to establish in wholeness every person who's broken." And then he went about doing it. He preached it and then he did it. He said, "My ministry is to speak God's word and then to do the word of God." And then he did exactly that. He preached and he taught and then he did. And he accomplished the will of God. He did more than just tell people about it. He also accomplished it. He spoke the will of God and he did the will of God. Now I want you to note that. That is significant. Now turn with me to Matthew the 10th chapter. Matthew chapter 10. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, this is Jesus now working with his 12. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, we have been taught in the past that Jesus had the authority and that Jesus had the power to do these things, but that no other man had the right or the power to accomplish that same thing. But we see here in the 10th chapter of Matthew's gospel that Jesus gave to his 12 disciples the power or the authority, it's the Greek word exousia there, against unclean spirits, and he gave them the right to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That Jesus transmitted by his word to his followers the authority to do the same thing that he did. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. What's happening here? Jesus said, don't go to the righteous, but go to the lost. Go to those who are in need and preach to them first and say to them, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here's how they'll know that the kingdom has come. You heal the sick. You cleanse the lepers. You raise the dead. You cast out devils. I have freely given to you. Now you freely give to others. And when you accomplish the will of God in their midst, they will know that the kingdom has come. And they will see that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in the same way I have done it, I now give you the authority to go and do likewise. Now, do you notice here that Jesus did not say to his disciples, Go forth and I will heal the sick. He didn't say, go forth and I will cast out devils. He said, you go forth and you do it. I give you the authority to accomplish it. As my representatives, you've got the authority and the power. Now go on and do it, and people will see that the kingdom of God has in fact come. That as you preach the word, these signs will follow to confirm that what you're saying is true. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9 is a parallel record of Matthew 10. It's told in just a little different way, and there are a couple of wrinkles here that I want to call to your attention. Luke 9 and verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now Jesus gave, according to Luke, not only the authority to do these things, but also the ability. The authority to take a command over devils, and the authority and the right to cure diseases were given to the 12. In addition, the power or the ability to enforce that authority was also given. Those of you that work for a living and are in any kind of a supervisory capacity recognize that authority without the power is useless. It's the power that backs up that authority, you see, and makes it work. Jesus gave to his disciples not only the right, but the ability to do the same things that he did. And he sent them to do what? To preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, do you notice here that Jesus did not tell them, go forth and preach concerning the kingdom of God, and then bring the sick to me, and I'll heal them. You see that? He said, you preach, and you heal. I give you the authority, I give you the power, you preach the word, and you do the healing. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Whatever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, doing what? Preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. You see, they didn't just preach, they also accomplished God's will. They told of the will of God, and then they brought it to pass by their faith in what Jesus had told them to do, and by the confidence that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had given them authority and power. They believed he did, and so they laid hands on the sick, and the sick were healed. And people saw, bless God, the kingdom has come. They didn't understand everything was happening, but I'll tell you this. A man who is crippled will sure understand healing. A person who is under the death sentence of cancer will surely understand healing. A person who hasn't had a square meal in 5 years because his belly is all eaten up by some of Satan's garbage will sure understand what it's like to have a whole meal. A person who is lunatic in his mind and distressed in his mind will sure understand peace of mind. He may not understand the theology of it, but he sure understands the reality. They did in Jesus' day, and they do today. So far, so good, preacher. Yes, we believe that Jesus gave his 12 authority and power, and all those guys were really filled with the power of God, and they went everywhere in those gospel days, and they healed people, but that's not for any except the 12. It's just for the apostles, you see. It was only the apostles that were supposed to do that. Don't speak out loud. Now, you may think that, but please don't say it because you'll feel silly when you find out the truth. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. You only have to read another 5 minutes. We'll find out that wasn't true. Luke 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. There were so many places to go. There were so many people that hadn't heard the word. There were so many sick that needed healed and needed ministry of deliverance that Jesus chose 70 others as well. And he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. In other words, the places that he would normally have gone. He sent these 70 there two at a time. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. In other words, don't stop and lollygag around. I've sent you on a mission, and get right to it. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Now, do you notice that all through this, there's not one indication that Jesus said, now what I want you to do is I want you to go preach the word, then take out your spiritual thermometer and check how much faith the people have, and if they have sufficient faith, pray for them that they be healed. You see that in there? I don't either. What does it say? It says, preach the word and heal the sick. I give you a commission to speak the word of God and to minister my healing to them. You do for them the same thing that I've done for you. Freely you have received, now freely give. Well, what happened to them? Did they have any success? Verse number 16. Jesus said to them, He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despise them that sent me, him that sent me. Then in verse 17, we see them returning. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in thy name or through thy name. So here's the ministry of Jesus. Here's the ministry of the 12. Here's the ministry of 70 more. Now turn with me, please, to the gospel, letter of Paul to the Colossians. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Verse number 13. Well, let's start at verse 12. Colossians 1 and 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you know what it means to be meet? It means to be able. It means to be qualified. God hath made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now this verse of scripture, along with the 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and Ephesians, the first chapter scriptures that we'll not read this morning in the interest of time, show us that clearly we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have a relationship with him that is so one that it's represented in the Bible as he being the head and we being the rest of the parts of the same body. Paul in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in the 30th verse, goes so far as to say that we are of his flesh and of his bone. Now, if Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God was on Jesus to heal the sick, do you think that the Spirit of God is on the body of Jesus Christ to heal the sick? Do you think that the same healing power that is flowing in the head also is flowing in the body? Do you think that the body has the same authority as the head? We know that it does, because in Matthew, the 28th chapter, Jesus said, All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye, therefore. You're my body, and you've got the same authority and the same power that I have. And now I want you to go forth and do the same things that I did. That's the commission to the church. Mark's gospel, turn to that. Mark's gospel, chapter number 16. This is a word to the church. 16. Among the last words of the risen Christ. 16:14. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. I wonder whether the Lord might want to upbraid us some because of our unbelief in healing. I wonder if we haven't required too much of the sick. Hear me now. I said, I wonder if we have not required too much of the sick. And I wonder if we haven't copped out some by requiring the sick person to have all the faith and our not having any of it. I wonder if we haven't made the person who is incapable of believing at the level that he has to believe to receive healing, if we haven't laid too heavy a burden on that person. And we've required too much. I don't see Jesus doing that through the scripture. Now, I'm not demeaning faith on the part of the person that's receiving. And I'm not talking here about willful unbelief, because the scripture tells us that Jesus, when he went to Nazareth in Mark's gospel, the 6th chapter, that he couldn't do any miracles there or any mighty works there because of their unbelief. But I wonder if we haven't, for people especially who are unsaved and who have not been dealt the measure of faith yet through the new birth, if we're not requiring of them who haven't even had enough faith to be born again yet, if we aren't requiring them to walk at a level of faith that's higher than we have even come to walk at yet. And I wonder if when we pray for the sick and we say, well, that person didn't get it, I guess they just didn't have enough faith, I wonder if we aren't just copping out. Why did I say that? Listen to me for a while. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That doesn't say anything about laying their hands on the sick with sufficient faith in the sick. It says that a believer will lay his hands on the sick and that sick person will recover. Now I want you to go with me to the book of Matthew, and I want to lay this all in together now. Matthew 17. Now watch this carefully, because I believe that the devil has robbed us, the church of Jesus Christ. I believe what has happened to us. Let me see if I can put this into focus for you before we read this passage of scripture. We were lost. We were bound with our sin. We heard the gospel preached. It touched our hearts. We confessed our sins and received Jesus Christ as Savior and made Him the Lord of our lives. We heard the good news about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we believed God for that. And by request and by faithful action, we received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When that happened, the Spirit of God began to move magnificently and powerfully through us. When we were brand new believers, we'd lay hands on a fence post. Isn't that right? I mean, now that's stupid. That's going to the other extreme. But the faith was running so strong that we lay hands on a billiard ball and expect to grow hair. We'd lay hands on people that had holes in their teeth and expect God to fill them. You know, in our exuberance and in our zeal, we saw some marvelous and some magnificent things done, didn't we? But if you told folks today about that, they wouldn't believe you. They wouldn't believe you. But we had faith like a child. We knew that God was all-powerful, and we knew that He lived inside us, and we knew that He didn't want anybody sick. And when we saw somebody sick, the compassion of God flowed out through us, and we laid hands on him, and we asked for healing to come in the name of Jesus. And time after time after time, we saw miraculous and supernatural healing, didn't we? Isn't that right? Then, as we grew a little, the Lord began to give us some tougher cases. Then we started laying hands on some folks that didn't receive their healing, and we didn't understand why. And so we began to pour around and poke around in the Word of God and poke around in what other people believe and say, why isn't this happening? And we came up with the fact that in order to receive healing, a man's got to have faith to receive that healing. And there's sufficient evidence in the Scripture to support that. But I think what has happened to us, beloved, is we have gone too far. We've swung it too far that direction. And we have required the sick to walk at a level of faith that is too high for him. And he can't achieve it. And what it has really done for us is taken the load off of us. And we have said, well, that wasn't my fault. And the sick person leaves and is still sick. We say, well, he just didn't have enough faith. And it was a nice, convenient excuse for us. Rather than saying, oh God, oh Lord, when Jesus healed the multitudes and they came by the thousands, and the scripture says, and they were all healed. Now surely there were a few people in those multitudes that were unworthy. There must have been a few people in those multitudes that weren't walking faith-filled Abrahams. Not one of them was born again. Not one. And we think that they had such faith, you know, that's why Jesus healed them. No. You know why they got healed? they get healed on Jesus' faith. He had the faith to get them healed. Now, obviously, they were not in opposition, because when he met willful unbelief, he was unable. But where he found non-belief or weak faith, he always got them healed. If they came for healing, he got them healed. He had the faith to get it done. And his church needs to have that faith too. Beloved, we've been walking right here when we should be walking up here. And we have within us a great deal more than we think we do. And those of us who are weak in faith need to get back in this book and get that faith built up so that we can get the sick healed. Now let me go to Matthew 17 here, and I'll show you what I mean. This is verse number 14. Now Jesus has just been on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he came down with Peter and John, James. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Now this man had a boy who was taken with convulsive seizures. He was epileptic, or he had brain damage, or something was wrong with the boy that caused him to seizure. The scripture tells us that in the other passage where this is recorded, that he was possessed with a devil. Verse number 16, the man says, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now let's just stop right there. Now what some have believed in the traditional church, they would stop right there and they'd say, see there, healing's not for everybody. I asked God for healing. I went to the church and tried, and I didn't get healed. Therefore, God doesn't want me healed. I'm going to glorify God in my sickness. Since the disciples, now if the 12 disciples couldn't get that boy healed, then it was not the will of God to heal him. Do you see how that kind of thing could develop? Do you see how also it could develop in us? We might say, well, if the disciples couldn't get him healed, then who are we to think we could? I mean, those 12, they walked with Jesus. They lived with him. They ate with him. They slept with him. They were with him over 3 years, personal contact, and they couldn't get the boy healed. Who are we? You know who we are? We're of his flesh. See, we're not his disciples. We're him. He lives inside us. He doesn't just dwell with us. He lives inside. That's his hand right there. This is his nose. That's his hair. These are his ears. And so are those. It's not the same thing. They were disciples. We're sons. It's different. Now the apostles could not get this boy healed. Jesus answered and said, O faithless. What's their problem? What's their trouble? They don't have any faith. The problem was not that it wasn't the will of God. The problem was not that the boy didn't have faith. The problem was not that the dad didn't have faith. If you'll remember the story as it's recorded in Mark's gospel, Jesus spoke to the father and he said, all things are possible to him that believeth. The father says, oh, I believe, help my unbelief. That's the man. Do you remember that? This man was not a faith-filled man. He had a need. He had a demon-possessed and a tormented boy. And he wanted that boy made whole. And he brought him to the church, and the church couldn't get it done. And Jesus said to his church, oh, faithless. Where's your faith? Your faith and perverse generation. Now the word perverse means, in the Greek, having been perverted. Now what is Jesus saying to his disciples? Oh, disciples, where's your faith? How have you been perverted? How long shall I be with you? Haven't you learned it yet? Don't you understand who you are? Don't you realize what I meant in the 10th chapter of this book where I gave you the power and the authority to take care of these things? Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, well, first of all, because it wasn't the will of God. That's the way some would read this scripture. Is that right? You've heard it preached. I have. And the second reason you couldn't cast him out is because I was doing a work in his father. And it wasn't time yet. The father need to learn to be drawn to close to me. The third reason you couldn't cast him out is the father had unforgiveness in his heart. He was outside of my will, and therefore it wouldn't move, wouldn't flow. And the fourth reason is the boy didn't have any faith. I mean, it's obvious he didn't have any faith, and the father didn't have any faith either. You heard him say, help my unbelief. But that's not what Jesus said, none of those. And so the answer is not A, B, C, D. The answer is E, none of the above. Jesus said unto them, this is as clear as the nose on your face, or my face, you're looking at me, because of your unbelief. Why couldn't we get that boy healed, he said. Only one reason. Only one reason. Because you didn't believe. It's that simple. Now, we have made this very complicated, haven't we? And it's purely simple. I mean, it's so easy. It's so simple. Now, I know that when I preach this, I know I'm taking some responsibility on me, and I'm taking it on you. I don't care what it takes to get the sick healed, though. I want the sick healed. And if I've missed it, I want to get it straightened out. I want to get straightened around. And if we've missed it, I want us to get straightened around. For verily I say unto you, watch this now. Now this will really knock you for a loop. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. See, he said, he didn't say you didn't have enough faith. He said you didn't have any. You were without faith. Your faith has been perverted, and you were faithless, without faith. It's because of your unbelief. He didn't say your lack of sufficient faith. He said you're operating in unbelief. You may call it faith, but it ain't. If ye have faith a little teeny bit, like a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this great, big, monstrous, impossible mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall not just stand there and look at you. It shall snap to attention and remove. And nothing, not one thing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Now verse 21, interesting. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. What does that mean? What it means is, you've got to get your eyes off of the circumstances and off of the things of this natural life. You've got to weaken your external man, the man of the flesh, and get your spirit man strong through a life of prayer and a life of fasting. Not, well, I'm going to pray for the sick today, so I'm going to miss breakfast. Oh, Lord, anoint me for praying for the sick today. Won't get it done. It's a lifestyle of prayer and fasting and ministering to the Lord to keep that spirit man on the inside fat and healthy and strong and powerful so that when it looks disease in the face, it says remove and be gone. And there's sufficient faith in those words, even though it's mustard seed faith, to cause that thing to flee from a person's body. Now here's what we must be careful about, church. Just because we fail to get every person healed that we pray for is no reason for us to change our method when the next one we pray for. In other words, it's no reason for us to stop exercising our faith for that person. we are requiring too much on the part of the receiver, and they're not capable of exercising that much. Let me tell you something that the Lord is ministering to me about this week. I believe two things He would have me to say to you today. One is, we know that the proclamation of God's Word produces faith. And we probably have felt that the ones that need to have their faith built up are the sick, so that they can receive their healing. I'm telling you that the ones that need their faith built up is the church, so we can believe for the healing of the sick. I believe that the preaching of God's Word will produce faith in the community of believers. And in the sick, it will not as much produce faith as it will break down the hindrances to faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? Break down the traditions of men that have kept people separated from the healing power of God. Now, you may be one who would say, well, you know, I know pretty much about healing, and besides, I'm not sick. I don't think I'm really going to be here this week. I'm saying to you, I need you. I need you to be here listening to the Word of God, getting your faith built. I tell you, something has happened to me in the last 2 weeks or so since I have been eagerly eating God's Word on healing. I feel differently about healing. I mean, the same but different. And it's because that Word is fresh in me. I was listening to a tape this week, and I thought it was a tape on healing, but it wasn't. It was titled that, but that wasn't really the message. But I want to tell you what the message was, and it's important to us. Those of us who've been walking with the Lord for a while, and we've heard about healing, we know about that, and we know what the Scripture says, perhaps even adequately for us to be able to quote the Scripture. Even though we have heard all of the Word on healing, that doesn't mean that our faith is at the level it must be to believe for healing. Let me give you a natural example. If you haven't eaten for a week, you haven't had any food for a week, your memory might be quite good as to what a steak looks like, tastes like, how you like it done, exactly what it looks like when you cut it. You could perhaps even describe it to somebody. You could even look at the steak on your plate, but you could die while you were watching it. Do you understand? Until you take it and put it in your mouth and let it get into your physical body, it will give you absolutely no nourishment, and you could die of starvation looking at the food. We Christians do exactly the same thing to our spirit with this food right here. Oh, I can quote you those healings. God healed it? Oh, you bet He does. Well, pray for my healing. And we got to pray for 20 minutes in tongues to get our spirit man built to the place where we have a little bit of faith we can release. Knowing what this book says not going to do you any good until you open it up and eat it. Now, just because I had steak yesterday, my body needs some more today, doesn't it? Just because I had physical food yesterday, that is not doing my body any good today. I've got to actually take it physically and put it in my body in order to get nourishment. This is the same way. You can't live today on what you ate yesterday. You can't live this week on what you ate last week. And I found out in the last 2 weeks that I can't teach this healing seminar on what I learned about healing 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 6 years ago. I can't function. I can't function. And neither can you. Now, what we need this week, we're going to have some sick people here this week. And God's healing power is going to flow to sick this week. We need believers. We don't want the sick coming to Nazareth, where the community of the faithful is busy discussing Jesus, his childhood and his brothers and his sisters and who is this and how could he be healing the sick? Because we know him. We know his childhood. We knew when he was in diapers. We need a community of believers that know and believe and have an assurance that when the sick come in this door, that there's sufficient faith in this place, right here, in this people, that they're going to go out healed. Now, if you believe that, they will. Regardless of whether they do or not. This is what I want you to see. Now, if they're willful unbelievers, now that's not likely they're going to get any healing unless the Lord sovereignly gives a gift of healing. I've seen skeptics healed. Haven't you? Just a bunch of garbage, bunch of junk, and walk out healed. And God will do that sometimes. He's just that kind of a guy. But I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the one who comes in and doesn't know the will of God. I'm talking about the person who comes that is sick and has a disorder in their body or in their mind and wants help but doesn't know how to get it. I'm talking about believing God to heal the sick. I have an assurance in my heart that if we as a community of believers, as the body of Jesus Christ, if we will exercise the faith of Jesus that is in us, that the sick will be made well. I don't want to lay a trip on you, but God's word says that the demonized little boy didn't get healed because of the disciples' unbelief. We have a much greater responsibility than we have thought we had. Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, we can't just preach the word and quit. We've got to preach the word and believe. Well, how about when they leave? Aren't they going to lose it when they walk out the door because they don't have enough faith? Not if you keep believing, they won't. Not if you keep walking in faith, they won't. Not if we undergird them with faith until they've got enough of their own to hold it, they won't. Why did the miracles of Jesus last? Why did those people maintain their healing? Because Jesus' faith lasted longer than a few minutes. He continued to believe for them. Why is it that we've seen deaf get their hearing, and then we've seen in 15 minutes or an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, they lost it? Something matter with God? Something wrong with him? He doesn't know how to heal? No, we don't know how to believe. Now, we're going to have to grow up. This is part of growing up. This is part of growing up. We're going to have to learn how to do this. And it starts with believing we can. I believe we can. I believe we can. I believe with all my heart we can. I don't believe that there's any disease or sickness or infirmity or weakness that is bigger than the faith that God's placed in our hearts. If the faith the size of a mustard seed will move a mountain, ought not to take too much to get a cancer healed. Right or not right?